Well, good day. I'm glad you're here today. We're going to talk about hope in difficulty. Do you think there's difficulty in this world today? Do you think our nation is in difficulty? I want you to know that we're in perilous times right now. I'm not a prophet nor a son of a prophet, and I have no right to stand up and say these are all the things that's going to happen in this world. But here's what I do know. If you set out a watermelon on the front porch, it's not going to hurt it a bit. You leave it there a week or two, it's going to start to smell. If you don't move it pretty soon, it'll be a stink. And then you'll be having to deal with that. Well, that's the way the world turns. It gets to that. Now, I'm going to talk about hope, but it's hope in difficulty. That we're living in a difficult world right now is not new to any of us. We've seen what's happening. I don't know who you voted for. It's none of my business who you voted for. I hope you did vote. I hope when the next election comes that we will vote in righteous ways. I don't know if y'all have noticed, but I noticed it. We're getting old. Did you notice that? I remember when we put a man on the moon. I remember the euphoric expression on people when we first put a man on the moon. The world is staggering once again, but it's about destruction and what's holy. I want to live in a country that is brought to us by the righteousness of God, that the principles that we embrace are not self-seeking, but they're out there to say these things about God, and they can be spread around to the world. I'm not a political person, very unpolitical. Now, I want to have a little say-so, but I'm not one that's going to sit down with you and we're going to talk politics for 15 hours. That's not going to happen with me. But I see the ugliness. I see the sinfulness that's going on, and I don't like it. You've got things going on, and I've told you this before, where we've got young people who hadn't figured out whether they're a boy or a girl. There is a test for that. Our government has squandered our money and put us in such a situation that it's hard to have enough money to get by on unless you got a stockpile. It's tough, and it's going to get worse before it gets better. You know that people were being given $4,000 a month? I would love to have $4,000 a month. And it's giving it away to people and telling them they don't need to work. That's not right. We're in difficult times. It's of little difference who the president is. The president is the president no matter what. I'm not going to beat up on him, and we're not going to flash it, you know. But I tell you what, I can still vote, and you can too, whenever. And you may vote for the same people. That's fine, if that's what you choose. 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 10 says this about free stuff. All over the place, people are getting free stuff. And I hope people get free stuff if they're hungry and unable to work. But if you're able to work, that's not right. 3:10. For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule. If a man will not work, he shall not eat. That would fix a lot of stuff real fast. It appears that many of the leaders in the country choose to even buy votes. Can you imagine such a thing? Do you know, I've never even been in Washington, D.C., thank God, and I don't ever want to be in there. That's a cesspool. But there are those who buy votes to get what they want. You believe that's true? Hoarders are making killing, selling people stuff they need 3 or 4 times more than it used to be. That's wrong. Predictions say it's going to get worse and worse. Job says, mortals born of woman are a few days but full of trouble. They spring up like flowers and wither away like fleeting shadows and do not endure. Do not fix your eye on them. Will you bring them before the judgment? Who can bring what is pure from the impure? No one. That's what the scripture says. A person's days are determined. You have decreed the number of his months and have set limits and cannot exceed. So look away from him and let him alone till he has put his time in like a hard labor. At least there is hope for a tree. If it is cut down, it will sprout again. At least its shoots will not fail. Its roots may grow old in the ground, and its stump may die in the soil, and yet the scent of water will bud and put forth shoots like a plant, but a man dies and is laid low. He breathes his last and is no more. As the water of the lake dries up the riverbed, becomes parched and dry, verse 11, so he lies down and does not rise. Till the heavens are no more, people will not awake or be roused from their sleep. What's important is, instead, people like us, when we take a hit, when we have difficulty, we're resilient. We have that within us. And when it comes to difficulty, if we plant our feet firmly and trust God while we keep our faith in Him, we will do well. There's a host of things in this world that we can do without. I've got a bunch of stuff, and Alan's got a bunch of stuff, and Johnny's got a bunch of stuff. All of us got a bunch of stuff. If we threw half of it away, you know what you'd have? A bunch of stuff. You'd still have a bunch of stuff. There's a host of things we can do in this world and not have to have much. But when it comes to hope, I don't need another tractor. I don't need another implement. I don't need another thing like that. I need something that's sure that I can count on in my life. Hope is not something far out of our reach like it would be to find, say, a bag of money laying down somewhere in the street and you picked it up. The word hope is this: desire with expectation. That's what hope is. If I have hope, I expect that God will provide. It's when I go and do the goofy stuff when God says, no, we're not doing it that way. Romans chapter 8, 22-25 says, we know that the whole creation has been groaning as in childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption of our sonship, the redemption of our bodies. Do you hear that? When you die, what are you going to get? Well, I'm going to get to go to heaven when you die. No, you're not. You know what you're going to get? You're going to get back on this earth, cleaned up, nothing wrong. That's what God intends for us. For in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. We hope to be with the Lord in the resurrection on the great day. And we have hope that God hears and answers our prayers, and that our labor is not in vain. Without the word hope, we can never fully trust in God with all our heart. God is trustworthy. We're the ones that are skeptical. Job 11, beginning in verse 13, says, "Yet if you devote your heart to Him and stretch out your hands to Him, if you put away the sin that is in your hand and allow no evil to dwell in your tent, then free of guilt you will lift up your face. You will stand firm and without fear. You will surely forget your trouble, recalling it only as waters gone by. Life will be brighter than the noonday, and the darkness become the morning, and you will be secure because there is hope, and you will look about and take your rest in safety. You will lie down, and no one to make you afraid, and many will court your favor." I'm not scared. I've been in rooms over time when someone was in the process of passing away. I'm sure most of you have experienced that. I had the opportunity to do it more times, I guess, than others over the years. I have watched people as their life drifted from them with a smile on their face. Because a person that knows that is not afraid, because though you die, there's a resurrection. And you will walk with God again. But when you walk with God again, it's going to be completely pure. All evil is gone. How would you like that world today? God gave us this stuff in the Scriptures to help us know that He's on our side. We've talked about in other places about when we die. You're not going anywhere when you die. You're going to be dead, and you are going to resurrect in the resurrection. But during the time you're dead, you're not going anywhere. You're not talking to Aunt Sadie somewhere. You know, you're not doing that. God has it in your best interest. And He knows best, since He created the world and all the things in it, He knows best how to get it back right. Yes or no? Psalm 71:4. "As for me, I will always have hope." This is people way back before we ever knew anything about any of this. "I will praise you more and more in the darkest hours and the deepest pain." Believers can still hang on to hope. Don't give up. It's happening all over this nation. With the intel I have seen, it's not happening like that overseas. It's in this country. Through God's embrace and the work done through this congregation, we taught 54 million people. That sounds unbelievable, but I was there. I saw and had communication with these people. People in Russia, people in China, it was all there. I have hope that whatever we did, and some of the whatevers we did was people who funded. They couldn't go and do the stuff. But the thing is, it made a difference in the world. And hope is that word that lets you do things like that. I can't do it now. I can't do what I did. And some of you that were working with all of that, you couldn't do that either. But we're not the only ones on this planet. And there's other people to come behind and go around and do all of this stuff. Believers in Jesus Christ can do this one thing without fail. You ready? Put your finger up, the one thing. Praise Him. Praise Him. We even have songs about that. Proverbs 12:17, don't let your heart envy sinners, but always be zealous for the fear of the Lord. There is surely a future hope for you, and your hope will not be cut off. Your hope will not be cut off. I have a God who put it in writing. You ever had to, you're out here making a deal with somebody, and you come to a deal. The first thing that happens after you come to a deal, you say, let's put that in writing. Yes or no? Well, God did it for us. Though we're in a time of exceptional negative circumstances in our country and the world around us because of hope, we can still have joy. We get to keep it, and you can't take it from us. If I was up here just joyful, 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 and you tried to take it away from me, you could not do it. You could beat me up, you could even kill me, but you did not take my joy. The hope in Christ stirs us up so that we can praise the Lord in song even in the midst of all kind of difficulty. Listen to this, Romans 5. Therefore, since you have been justified through faith. Wait a minute. Wait. Who is he talking to? Is he talking to people in Christ? Is that you? Therefore, since you have been justified. Let's use the word justified. It's just as if I'd never sinned. Do you realize that God gives you the embrace and justification through your faith? We have peace with God, our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into His grace, in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. It all comes back to hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into your hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. Now, we've got three entities. You got God the Father, Christ the Son, and who? Holy Spirit. Which one of them's God? Do you know and do you remember that when you came to Christ, the Holy Spirit came with you? If you stand right here, the Holy Spirit's with me. If I walk over here, the Holy Spirit's with me. If I take a 10-mile walk or drive, guess where the Holy Spirit is? They never leave you. That's why we have a covenant. That's why the baptism thing is important. So, well, we just pour a little water on His head. No, sir. Jesus said, I'll immerse you. You come up out of that, and you're going to get benefits from this. The Holy Spirit's going to hang out with you. And everywhere you go, the Holy Spirit is with you. You are never alone. Ever. God demonstrates His own love for us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Did God know we were still sinners? Did He embrace us anyway? Does He know that we can't get it right, but that we love Him? Yes, we know that. Hope reveals the love of God within every believer, and we're moved by the Spirit of God to show that others that hope. That's critical stuff. Hope can be lost. Do you know that? But it can be found all over again. It don't run away. We run away. It doesn't. Hope is that powerful word that's backed up by God's promise. That's the most powerful stimulant for a believer because it's all done by His power and not our doings. Listen to this, Ecclesiastes. This is Old Testament stuff, isn't it? I thought we were New Testament Christians. Yeah, but you know what? You don't get the New Testament unless you get the Old Testament. That's why it's there. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 9 to 12. Two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can you keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. God has built it in us to have a staying power, to make us know that we're okay. How many of you in here think you might sin sometime this week? Just because that happens, God doesn't throw you away. God has planted hope in the heart of every believer so that we can build a strong relationship of love with Him and trust Him. If we choose God's hope, we'll never be put to shame. Do you have a vision in your eyes to see through all this wisdom the necessity of having hope? Listen to this, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him. Yeah. And are filled with inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of that grace was to come to you, searched intently with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when He predicted the sufferings of the Messiah and the glories of that which follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but to you when they spoke of the things you now have been told by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, even the angels long to look into these things. Do you know that you have something in you that is stronger than even the angels? According to that verse. Now, don't go out of here and say, you know, I'm going to turn into an angel. You have the power. Hebrews 6, 16 to 20. People swear by someone greater than themselves, an oath confirms what's said and puts an end to all argument. Because God wanted to make sure the unchanging nature of His purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, He confirmed it with an oath. God did this so that by two unchangeable things, which is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us may be greatly encouraged. We have this hope as an anchor for our soul. I want you to see one more thing. This is going to be in James chapter 1 and verse 2 and 3. Noel's going to be a little longer than that. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let the perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives it generously to all who are finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like the wave of the sea, blown by the wind, tossed by the wind. that person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. I don't want to be unstable, do you? I want to be in this. I don't even deserve the right to stand before you, much less to stand before Holy God. But I didn't make the deal. Who made the deal? All that stuff you just heard, who made the deal? God made the deal. He made the promises. He did all of that. If you do this, this is what you are, what you get, what you do. I know that God will never change His mind. And I'm in full embrace of the fact that He's on my side. Warts and all. Every one of us have warts. All of us. We got problems. But the great Redeemer knows how to fix it. And the church said, Amen.